FM 93.3.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
We're WMMR, Philadelphia.
We must be over the rainbow.
The radio station.
The radio station, and you will hear the voice, one of the great voices of this radio station, joining us very shortly. But I thought we would start from the beginning. It's Alumni Week. Earl Bailey joins us mere moments from now on 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia. 50 years of rock and roll history. The home of rock and roll.
It's midday, déjà vu. It's the Pierre Robert Radio Show.
It is demeaning to the nation.
You really think so?
It is demeaning to the nation.
Turn up that radio and listen to Pierre Robert and his radio friends.
A core of the elite who never grew up, never did anything real, never sacrificed, never suffered, and never learned.
On 93.3 WMMR, Philadelphia. Pierre Robert, part of this radio station's
dubious and self-serving schemes.
Rise, my heart, and fill your voice with music, for he who shares not dawn with his songs is one of the sons of ever darkness.
As many people know, that was the first song ever played on this frequency. The voice you heard there was our very first DJ, Dave Herman. And appropriate, I think, that he had that presence here, and that in honor of Alumni Week, we had his voice today. We had on Wednesday a visit with Michael Tiersen, yesterday a visit with John DiBella, and today the voice you heard before that and a little ID he put together for me is one of the greatest voices, I do believe, in radio, one of the most knowledgeable musical people, one of the people with the greatest heart I've ever known, had the privilege of working with, and a fellow lover of coffee. Ladies and gentlemen, may I welcome to MMR back home, Mr. Earl Bailey.
Like blood to a vampire.
Like blood to a vampire, indeed.
Nectar of the gods.
Nectar of the gods.
Still works.
I remember doing the morning show from 1993 to 1996. It may be a nightmare, Earl, but you were the news person for that entire time, and you made coffee for all of us.
Yes, it's where I learned my coffee-making skills, where I stepped away from Folgers and into La Cologne land.
And I liked everything about your coffee, except all these years later, I can tell you the truth, I never liked the cinnamon. You always had a thing with a stick cinnamon of cinnamon, stick. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I gave that up years ago. Oh. You were right, Pierre.
No. Coffee is such a personal thing.
Yes.
You know, do you like it black? Do you like it creamed? Do you like it cream and sugar? You know, and do you like it with a little cinnamon, a little chocolate, whatever it might be?
Yeah.
But you always said, never buy flavored beans. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
These things are coming to me.
They would use inferior beans, but it wound up that very often, though, because of the rush in the morning, I'd wind up making what I called coffee bean soup. It was a little thick. But it sure worked, you know.
It certainly did.
It kept the words coming out. By the way, as I was saying to you, Pierre, 19 years ago, before I was so rudely interrupted, do you think anything will come of this Y2K thing?
I don't think so. I don't think we have to worry. So, Earl Bailey, let us, we have, you know, we're blessed in this 50-year run here of having people who've been with us the entire time, you know, from 1968, many of whom are still listening, you know, and then people who have, you know, joined us at various stops along the train ride, as I like to say. Some have gotten off, but blessedly and fortunately for us, many have gotten on, but some at later stops along the line who don't know the history of the radio station,
right,
which is some of the reason why we want to have this Alumni Week. And so your time at MMR, you did two tours of duty, did you not?
Yes, I see, you tend to, it blends in after a while because, you know, when you leave someplace, you want to forget everything for a while anyway.
Right.
And then people ask you to remember, which is, first of all, it's very gracious for you to have me on the show. It's an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to be here at WMMR on the air with my old and seeing my old friends and everything. It's just, it's a wonderful privilege, and I thank you for inviting me.
Pleasure. And you're here with the lovely Mrs. Bailey, Donna. Good day, Donna.
Oh, it's so wonderful to be back.
God, it's great to see you.
She worked for WMMR also.
Yeah.
She was actually our boss for a while.
That's right. That's right.
The assistant program director.
Yeah. You were a good boss and fair and decent and very fit. We would talk fitness a lot with Pat Croce, you remember?
Yes.
More on that later. So let us talk about your tours of duty
right.
here. Your
I
first time was when?
I think it was like 79, 80.
Okay.
That was, of course, when I indelibly seared into my brain the assassination of John Lennon.
Right.
By a guy who shouldn't have been able to get a gun, got one, and shot him. And so that was the major event in my brain that I connect to when you talk 79 and 80 and WMMR, because that was 3 days of just live broadcasting. That was, you didn't want to have to do it, but it was unimitable what we did, you know,
right.
over the course of 3 days and just responding to people's mourning and people's feelings then. Then the second time I came back, I kind of knew it, too. My last words on WNAW-FM were in 1984, and I just had a feeling I was going to be coming back to Philadelphia, and sure enough, in 85. I believe, was that Live Aid then, 85?
Live Aid, July 13th, 1985.
And so they needed someone in the studio while all you guys went down to the field, so I got a job.
So
I got my job back.
Tell us about your New York time, because you're a New York and Long Island native. We had DeBella on yesterday, and he was talking about WLIR, which was a legendary station on Long Island, which is where we received you from, and Joe Bonadonna and John DeBella from,
yes.
and Mark the Shark.
Yes, WLIR-FM was a seminal radio station. You know, every town had one of those radio stations,
right.
and when you pulled into town, you looked for the station that played, what, Circus Maximus, The Wind, or something, and you knew you were home. You had found the cool radio station, right? And that was a hot... I got to tell you, the reason stations like that exist, and this one even, was a quirk of fate for kids our age when we were 18, 19, 20. The government, the federal government, passed a law. This is where sometimes government regulation can be a good thing. Passed a law saying that people who owned AM and FM radio stations had to put different programs, because up until that time, whatever was on AM was being simulcast
right.
on FM.
Right.
But the government said you have to put something different on FM, and you have to manufacture FM radios with your AM radios. And so all these guys were making all kinds of money on their AM stations, didn't know what to do with their FM stations. So all these kids were coming out of college from FM college stations. And so they just turned these stations over to us. You know, you kids, you play your records. You got any records? You play, bring them in here. And
that's
how
true.
All this got a foothold. That's
yeah.
how MMR, you know.
Well, Dave Herman tells the story of coming down here the very first time, and MMR was part of that with WIP, which was the AM big station,
mm-hmm.
and they had the frequency of MMR. What do we do with that? Let's try this experiment. Let's
right.
get that long-haired kid. You know, he can do a show. Well, what do they call it? Marconi experiment.
Yeah, right.
So Dave comes down that first night to do a show that first afternoon, and there's not one record in the so-called, quote, music library.
Yeah, right, right.
And they were to launch April 29th, 1968. And they had to run out, he tells the story, of running out to local record stores with the general manager and buying every album
yeah.
they could find
yeah.
and bringing it back. And that's what the first show consisted of.
From the bedroom, you know,
yeah.
throwing them, he's doing a radio show. So anyway, that's how we all got our first jobs. That law that happened to be passed sometime in the 60s, that there had to be separate broadcasting. So You are the benefit of that, being the next generation, I believe, that blew into FM
right.
from college. Or
stumbled in might
yes,
be a better
right,
term.
Yeah. But that's how it all started.
Very cool. So your time, do a brief recap of your radio history. LIR was when?
WLIR-FM, 1974. I got my first paycheck. Okay. Before that, it was college radio, and we had a real station. We had a 60-mile radius at the University of Bridgeport. We had a real FM station.
Okay.
And it wasn't a course. It was a club, so we could do whatever we wanted on
okay.
it. So that's where we got our training ground. Then I went to WLIR-FM on Long Island.
What years?
74, I got my first paycheck.
To
I think, 79,
okay.
where I went to WRNW-FM, which was a little tiny station in Westchester County, New York, north of the city near White Plains. Then I got my first job at WMMR. And I got to tell you, the first day at WMMR, when we were over on Rittenhouse Square, you might remember, I know you remember, there was a delicatessen across the street.
The R&W Deli.
The R&W Deli.
One of our promotion right. directors, John Bloodwell, called it the land of grief because they were always yelling at each other in there.
Well, my first day at WMMR, remember, I had just come from a station called WRNW. Someone says to me, you want to go over to RNW? I'm like, no, I just left there. Oh, well, you don't have to be like that about it. No, I don't ever want to go to RNW again.
So your first tour of duty here was 79. Did Charlie Kendall hire you or did another program director hire you? There was someone before Charlie, but I don't remember who the person was. Well, think on that. While you think on that, you selected a song you'd like to hear from David Crosby.
It was Charlie Kendall.
It was Charlie. Yes. Okay. Charlie, the legendary. He hired me.
After Joe Bonadonna beseeched him on my behalf.
Cool. Because you knew Joe and John from LIR and Long Island.
Correct.
If this is making sense to folks who are following along.
Sorry if it's getting too
No, exciting. No. But, I mean, this is kind of where everybody came from, and everybody's got a radio story. Jackson, our current afternoon DJ, has been literally all around the country. He's wanted, you know, if you were to map it out with those pins on a map, you would see up and down the entire course of the United States, which is the way many DJs got along and around. They'd go to one town, the station would blow up or it would turn country and western or whatever. They'd go to another town or they get fired, which means really nothing in radio. People get fired all the time.
Right.
And then they'd move to another town and then hopefully bump up each time. And Jackson eventually got here and has been here for a long time. But it's not uncommon for DJs to bounce around.
Well, but what's not common is, I think, and you can say a similar experience, I've been fortunate enough to always be able to work at a radio station to which I would go home and listen.
Right.
You know,
right.
So many people have jobs and they, once they get out of there, I don't want to hear this stuff, you know. And that, you know, that I know back in the early days, it wasn't necessarily cool to say that you listen to WMMR because then you were typecast as some drug-infested hippie, you know. So people didn't just say, oh, MMR. You know, they'd say they'd listen to something. But you get them in the car alone back then, you know what they were listening to.
You do, indeed.
93.3 WMMR.
Oh, God, him just saying those call letters. Tell us the song you picked by David Crosby you'd like to hear. Music.
Do you have it?
Yeah, we
music
got it.
Music is love?
Yeah.
Well, music is radio, therefore radio is love.
Perfect. Let us play that as we welcome home Mr. Earl Bailey on 93.3 WMMR as part of Alumni Week. This is the music of Mr. David Crosby.
Everybody says the music's far from.
Sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Time to gather once again around the breakfast table.
Alive! It's alive! It's alive!
It's morning. It's the Pierre Robert Show.
This man is a psychopath.
It's no party. It's no disco.
I mean, this is a bunch of hooey.
This is rock and roll at 93.3 WMMR Philadelphia. Stay tuned.
I've never listened to shows like that. I work all day.
Earl Bailey would make great IDs for me when I did the morning show, which was between 93 and 96. And Earl Bailey on Alumni Week is our special guest. You heard Music is Love from David Crosby. You heard the Beatles with Flying. And from the beginning, from Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. So to recap your time here, it was 79 to 80 the first round.
Then 85 through...
What, no, wait, 79 to 80 what? Yes. Just to 80?
81? 80 or 81, it kind of blends in after a while.
It does, it does. I'm not trying to tax you.
I was here for a couple of years.
Okay. Did you have a regular shift then?
That's a good question. I was famous for cobbling together little jobs and making a full-time job out of it.
Because you hosted the workforce blocks at one point, did you not?
Yeah, I did do middays. And then I believe, I can't.
It all blends together.
Someone named the Cowboy. His nickname was the Cowboy. He was doing middays.
John.
John
from Denver. Yes.
Yeah.
I think he passed away. But yes, that guy was. He was the first gentleman to do the workforce blocks.
Yes.
And then many people did them prior to me coming. Anita, right. Steve Sutton. Did them for a while.
What I would wind up doing is holding down a shift till the guy they really wanted got here. That was my job.
All right. So
then
that,
eventually they said, hey, we need someone to do news in the morning, So I said, well, I can do that.
Well, you've always, on a side note, always loved animals. And there was, this was before my time here, but on that first tour of duty here, there was a story, and tell me if it's correct or not, that you did not have a place to live at that particular point. So you and whatever dog you had actually lived in the radio station. Is that true?
Well, my reasoning was this, sir. As you just mentioned, the transient possibilities of being employed in the radio business on the air. So I had enough money to either get an apartment or buy a car. So I thought, I'll buy the car in case this job doesn't last. I won't be stuck with an apartment in Philadelphia. What we used to call the Jock Lounge became
How could you keep a dog in there without the suits becoming aware of this and somehow going, Mr.
I think
Bailey.
Some of them were, God bless them, that's all I can say. And
That's great.
Pierre, it depends on how you finesse something, whether you get away with it or not, right?
No, I get it. Earl is our special guest. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in just a moment. We've got some more cool songs that he has selected that we'd like to play for you, and some great memories and some marvelous programs that Earl was involved in, including hosting Rock and Roll Roots every Saturday morning, doing the news, first with John DeBella, then with me, and then with a number of other morning show hosts over the years until he left, and we'll find out what he's up to now. But we did a lot of public service stuff, and when we come back, you're going to hear something really moving that spoke to the troops and MMR's power or influence or help, I guess you could say, in the way that it served people even when they weren't able to listen to it. And you'll discover exactly what I'm talking about when we return.
93.3 WMMR.
All right. We are here on Alumni Week with the great Earl Bailey, one of the most decent human beings I've ever had the pleasure of knowing, and with one of the great, most mellifluous, I love that word, voices. Such a part of the history of this radio station you are. But we were just talking during the commercials, and we have to recount this because we said earlier that radio DJs is not uncommon for them to travel a lot and go to one town and you get fired. It doesn't mean anything in this business. Yeah, you're gone. This guy's next.
Well, it only means something if you aren't smart enough to keep above your head above the radar.
Right.
Below the radar and cruise into your next job and not be bitter about things. You really have to put things behind you.
You do. But what I didn't realize is that you'd been fired twice by the same guy that we all love here.
Right.
And this is the voice in question.
93.3 WMMR. Philadelphia.
Charlie Kendall.
The great Charlie Kendall.
Charlie Kendall.
So, when you were at NEW, the legendary FM station that was owned by the same company, Metro Media, in New York, you worked there, and the reason you left there is because?
Charlie fired me again. Charlie had fired me from MMR the first time. Then I took a train to New York, where I'm from North Jersey, and so I was thrilled to be able to ask to get a job at the station I grew up listening to.
NEW-FM.
NEW-FM. And so Richard Neer hired me, and we're working, and time goes on, and eventually Charlie gets put in charge at WNEW-FM. Well,
he left MMR and he went to NEW, right. And then he got there, and what happened?
And after a while, my services were no longer needed.
Oh, Charlie.
So I came back down here eventually.
A case of musical DJ chairs, as it were. But it is fairly regular thing that this happens in this industry. So it's but it's interesting that the guy who has so much history, Charlie, with the station, he hired me and several other people here, fired you on two different occasions.
Yes. I still like the guy. I think it has some, isn't there a thing called hostage syndrome?
Oh, yes. Stockholm syndrome.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I want to play you a piece when you got back here for that second and longer period of time, which was from July 85 through December of 99, and did all kinds of things from DJ shows to the news at various times. And you also did a lot of public service pieces. And for a while, we had a thing called 60 Seconds. And I'd love to find out how it is you found this particular lady who would ship MMR radio shows on cassette off to people in Vietnam. How'd you find her? Do you remember?
I found her because she was a friend of my wife.
Wow.
Donna.
Because there were stories back in the Vietnam War of people who loved the station, kids who loved the station, who got shipped off to Vietnam, drafted. And people here in Philly would tape, and I've heard other people, veterans, say this, they would tape MMR on cassette and mail it to these folks, and they would listen to it in the jungles of Vietnam.
Yes, yeah. That's the power of radio, which I'd like to talk about a little bit, the power of radio and what it can mean to an individual. And you get to thinking that, oh, what am I doing here? You know, I'm just playing a bunch of records and talking about them, but you can connect sometimes. Do you want to play this piece? And because I'm just going to keep going on.
Yeah,
this.
Well, let's play the piece, and I've got a song after it, and then we'll come back and chat about that. This was a feature called 60 Seconds, and the voice, the unmistakable voice of Earl Bailey, but a very moving piece.
93.3 WMMR gives the love you.
60 Seconds.
On the occasion of her 29th birthday, entering the 30th year, WMMR has been celebrating all week with music and memories. Here's a memory hard to beat from a Vietnam veteran.
Well, I first heard WMMR back when you first started, and I loved the station. But the big part of WMMR in my life was when I left for Vietnam, and I certainly missed it. And what a lot of my friends and my sister did was to send me tapes of your shows. And they actually became a commodity over there, and after listening to them over and over again, we'd pass them on or trade them. And Earl, even I can't tell you how far into the jungle that music went.
Wow.
So, you know, I think one of my best memories of any of the shows was probably Luke O'Reilly and his meaningful little sets of Barclay James Harvest.
That seemed to be one of the ironic things to us over here back then, was that you kids in the jungles and us kids over here were all listening to the same music.
It made it a whole lot easier, and there was a real sense of connection.
What kind of tunes were we playing back then?
Hearing the music in the setting was unbelievable because, you know, it's taken me 30 years to really appreciate how beautiful that country was. And, you know, to be listening to, like, early Bruce Springsteen and Cream and Janis Joplin, you know, all the old things in that tropical setting, you know, if we had some time just to kick back, it was incredible. That's all I can say.
Well, thanks for sharing your memory. I know, you know, it must dredge up some memories besides listening to the radio, but thanks for taking the time to do that.
Well, you know, I want to thank you guys for being there. Things made it a whole lot easier.
And that's what it's all about. And that's 60 Seconds to help remember the past. I'm Earl Bailey, 93.3 WMMR.
.3 WMMR, everything that rocks, and 50 years of rock and roll history, and a person who helped us make that history. It's all about the people at a place like this. People behind the scenes, the people who are on the air that you know, but there's so many people behind the scenes as well who make it all possible. And Earl Bailey, one of the great ones. And that piece we just played of 60 seconds of the fact that, you know, people taped the radio station, put it on cassettes and sent it off to the kids in Vietnam is about as powerful as it gets, you know. And it speaks, you had talked about the power of radio, the power of music to bring people together. It's this magical, loving, all engulfing force, if you think about it.
Yeah. I remember that. when email first came in, we had a jock lounge, and they gave us all a computer
yeah, right,
where we
share.
All got our email.
Right.
So one day, I got one of my first emails, and it was from, as you mentioned, I did a show I took over from Rod Carson called Rock and Roll Roots
right.
on Saturday mornings. And one morning I got, I was checking my email, and this woman in Delaware says, I got to tell you, I was listening to you this Saturday morning, and my son is autistic. So I was taking him for treatment at whatever clinic it was in Delaware, in Wilmington, I guess. And when we were finished, I came back out, turned on the car, and Rock and Roll Roots was on, and you were playing Puff the Magic Dragon by Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Wow.
And my son started singing along. Now, he hadn't spoken a word. He was speechless.
In his entire life?
Yeah.
Holy.
He had made noises or whatever. But all of a sudden, he starts singing Puff the Magic Dragon.
Wow.
She says, excuse me.
No, I mean, I got goosebumps from that. I can't believe it.
I immediately brought him back in and told them what had just happened. And there was a new therapy at the time called music therapy, which I think is quite common now. But they enrolled her son in music therapy. And she says, I got to thank you for changing our lives. And I'm thinking, lady, all I did was play a record on the radio and talk about it. And it can have that kind of impact, Pierre, you know.
Yeah.
I know you sit there sometimes thinking about, well, who's out there listening and what are they doing, you know, and you can conjure up all kinds of fantasies, but never do you think you're having an impact like that on somebody's, changing the course of someone's life.
Wow.
It can happen. You know?
It can happen. I believe in it very firmly, and part of the beauty of this station in an era where so many stations are taped or they go to a tape at midnight, there's no live person on the overnight show. It's live and local all day long, you know, warts and all. And we're not, you know, we're far from perfect on all levels. Well, we always seek to improve ourselves and tune our frequency a little bit better. But for warts and all, 50 years of live programming and passionate presentation of all different styles of music through the years. And that music moves people. And again, you just never know what impact it'll have. We've invited our professor, Kevin Gunn, to join us, and I had the pleasure of working with the two of you and the redoubtable Buzz Barkley as we hosted a morning
redoubtable.
Show.
Wow.
That was Steve Martorano's term.
Uh-oh.
From 93 to 96. John DeBell had done the morning show from 82 to about 93. The last 6 months of those were a thing called Sports Rock, which was, Kev, I guess you could say a certified disaster.
We had better days than the Sports Rock days.
An experiment in futility.
It was a noble experiment that met a similar fate to the Hindenburg. I think those people had a break.
It was teaming John DeBella with Howard Eskin, and the idea was that they'd have some, you know, and in theory, I guess you could have a sports show that had rock and roll elements and back and forth, but when you had those two personalities combining, it was fire against fire, and it just made for more fire. And
What's the expression about a shark?
Well, at any rate, we know that it was a rough one. So when that ended, the station needed some healing, and they said, why don't you come off middays, Pierre, and do the morning show? So I called it the breakfast table, and it was me and you, Earl, doing the news, Kevin producing it, and Buzz Barkley doing a variety of features. So we had a lot of fun during that particular time. But I've known Kevin before that and since that. And part of, I think it was around that era, we were doing the Ticket to Ride show, was it?
Yes, it was around 19, actually a little earlier, 1990. Ticket to Ride was a syndicated show that we used to have. It was hosted by the immortal Scott Muni. And then the syndicated show went out of business. But Joe Bonadonna asked me if I would continue to write it and work with Earl. And so I would do a script every week and send it down to Earl, and Earl would produce the show. And it was just a celebration of the Beatles in every angle and aspect of the Beatles. And so I was in the archives yesterday digging around, and I stumbled upon a tape from Earl from November of 1990. And the show in question that we have a bit from was about the Beatles' relationship to the press. And so the clip we have is Earl reading a bit of the script. And then there's an interview clip with John Lennon And a reporter, and Lennon had lost his patience with the press and stupid questions. And so if you want to roll it, you'll hear what we mean.
All right. This is Ticket to Ride from 1990, 50 years of rock and roll history. And this features Mr. Earl Bailey on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, obviously, the press in 1990 is more widespread than at any time in the history of this planet. When the Beatles broke, there was barely UHF television, let alone cable. There was no People magazine or Us magazine. Still, the press was always a vehicle for entertainers to get exposure, and that has never changed. The Beatles and Brian Epstein were smart enough to realize this, and they played the press like they did their instruments. They knew that the press would make or break their image in the early days, but in later years, the Beatles knew their music spoke louder than any interview that they could give, and they approached the press much more cynically as their career wound on. Now, the last two excerpts I want to play illustrate both of these points. The second piece you'll hear features all of the Beatles responding to a question about how ridiculous their press conferences have become. And listen carefully to this first bit, in which a weary John Lennon ridicules his interviewer and answers all of his questions with a reply, "Oh, about six or seven." It gets off to a bad start when Lennon, knowing the guy's name is Gene, calls him Paul at 93.3 on WMMR's Ticket to Ride.
John Lennon. John, when's the next book coming out?
About six or seven, Paul.
About six or seven what?
About 1 month.
About 1 month. What will be the title of the book? Can you reveal it to us?
I can reveal today. It's called The Spaniard in the Works.
What type book will it be? Similar to the other one?
Yes, better though.
Do you fellas have anything to do with the writing or insertion of any parts of the movie that you're about to film?
Nothing to do with anything else we do, movies or otherwise.
So,
about six or seven.
About six or seven. John, how was the trip over? Did y'all get bored on the flight, or do you have things that usually keep you entertained that y'all were doing?
Well, we got stoned.
All right. No, I know you're only kidding.
I'm not.
Tell me this. There was a recent article in Playboy magazine, an interview that was done with you boys. Was this a legitimate thing, or was it some things inserted that were not true, or did you even see the article?
We saw it. Most of it is true. Some of it wasn't. About six or seven.
Hi, this is John Lennon on WMMR-FM, Philadelphia, PA.
Ballad of John and Yoko on 93.3 WMMR here in Philadelphia from the Beatles, of course. And we have the gentleman who hosted our show called, I almost said Breakfast with the Beatles, but it was Ticket to Ride.
We also did a Sunday morning show called Brunch with the Baileys.
Oh, that's right.
Because Helen Light was doing Breakfast with the Beatles on another station.
That's right.
And so we decided to brunch with the Baileys, and my wife Donna made an occasional appearance.
That's right.
On Sunday mornings.
If you're just joining us, it's Alumni Week here, and we have the pleasure of the company of Earl Bailey. We're going to have an Alumni Weekend where you'll hear over the course of the weekend different voices from our illustrious past and all these wonderful players who are so part of. In other words, we couldn't be who we are now if it weren't for all the great people who preceded us, both on and off the air. And certainly because of you who've listened for whatever amount of time you may have listened, we can never, ever, ever thank you enough. But one of the fun things about turning 50, which very few rock and roll, which very few radio stations, let alone rock and roll radio stations, have been privileged and lucky enough to do, is that we can flash back to these moments. And we didn't save everything. I wish we had saved more stuff along the line, but.
Well, there have been a lot of. Well, it started with the 40th anniversaries, you know.
Well,
10
actually,
years ago.
No, we started here with the 20th.
Well, I mean the aging, the realization of our maturation, our aging process. I think really hit home when everyone started celebrating 40th anniversaries of this.
Oh right, right.
And then we start thinking, yeah, then there'll be a 50th. Yeah, right. And lo and behold, all these 50th anniversaries start popping up, you know. But I was a little bit approached it a little bit tenuously, because a lot of times, as you've noticed, a 50th anniversary means the final tour.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is it. 50 years. Thanks. We're closing up shop. But MMR is more like the Rolling Stones. You know, they aren't going to stop till no one's listening.
And they don't do farewell tours.
Right, right.
But, I mean, MMR lives very much in the present.
It's a celebration of life, not a celebration of...
Yeah.
We're finished with this.
I like to think of it as a living museum because, you know, we stay very much in the present, but we celebrate our past. I mean, we're playing, a ton of young bands that are just vital and alive and well. And I wouldn't want to be at an all, you know, classic rock station or even an all alternative rock station, even though I love elements of both of those. I keep saying it's all rock and roll. It's all rock and roll. But we stay in the present, continuing to play new music, while never forgetting the older. Some amazing texts are coming in, and I want to read a few of those to our guest, Mr. Bailey, for Alumni Week. But we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, some more moments from Earl's time here at MMR and some of the kooky things that happened when I was hosting the morning show, one of which still stands out in a painful way in my memory.
93.3 WMMR.
I want to read a few texts. It's Alumni Week, if you're just joining us, and that's why the last 3 days we've had some very colorful characters. Wednesday was Michael Tiersen, yesterday John DiBella, and today we asked and he accepted Earl Bailey as our special guest, who had two tours of duty here at the end of the 70s and then again mid-80s through the 90s, doing everything from radio shows to doing the news and doing special features as well. And people just love you, Earl. It's so cool. Pierre, I am having such a great time listening to this. Dave over in Ben Salem says, to hear one of the greatest voices ever to grace an MMR microphone is something I can't express. It's just wonderful this Alumni Week. So he's speaking about you, my dear friend. Pierre, I just love this show, and can you please say hello to Earl? He's the best. Sean in Havertown says hello to you. Mr. Hansel in Delaware, I loved listening to Earl back in the day on MMR, and he is awesome. Please extend to Mr. Bailey, I can't go into my project at work until I send this, how much his Saturday morning show is missed, especially around the holidays, when he'd put together the menagerie of great songs. Cheers to two of my favorites, you, Pierre, and Earl Bailey as well. And your Saturday morning rock and roll roots show was great fun for many years. You did that from 6 to 10 a.m.
Yes.
And there's another one that Scott in Marlton says, can you get Earl to say Dad's Beautiful?
Oh, boy. Dad's Beautiful.
one of your phrases.
Yes.
And another one was, take it easy.
That's how I sign off. I still sign off that way.
Do you really?
Yes. But I must say, I stole that from folk singer Pete Seeger.
That's all right.
I got to tell Pete that once.
Really?
Yes. I've been signing off my radio show for 45 years. I stole a phrase of yours, take it easy, but take it. And he says, oh, I stole that from Woody Guthrie.
Oh, this is a great text from someone named Adrian. She says, Earl's voice is like dark chocolate, velvety, smooth, and so damn satisfying.
Nice.
Isn't that great? Oh, so, I mean, people are just loving you. It's great to have you here. So many people are saying it and adding to it. So
you are all very gracious, and it is very humbling. Thank you very
well,
much.
We're just thrilled. I mean, this Alumni Week, we've had a lot of different facets of the celebration of the 50th birthday. There have been a ton of concerts. There's been a ton of promotional events. We've had archive features and memories wherever we can find them. And I think it was Bill or Kevin or somebody came up with the idea of we should celebrate the alumni. And I want to keep doing this into the rest of the year as well, wherever I can find some features of those who are no longer with us. Someone, by the way, reminded us that it was John Bradley who kicked off the workforce blocks, right. And he worked at a station in Colorado. So whoever texted that in, thank you. We couldn't remember John's name, and he, I believe, preceded Earl Bailey. So thank you, whoever sent that in. John Bradley was the gentleman's name. So when I worked with Earl and Kevin and the previously mentioned redoubtable Buzz Barkley, it was a collection of misfits if ever there was one. So you've got, as type A, a human being, as exist with Mr. Gunn. Good day, Kevin.
Hi.
See, even that.
Hi.
And you've got, you know, maybe I'd be a type B. Maybe you'd be a type B, Earl. Maybe I'm a type C. Buzz was a type Z, as in zebra, as in falling asleep behind the wheel, as he sometimes would be nodding off in the studio. So it was a collection. Buzz. In fact, one time you were on vacation, and they somehow got the idea of Buzz doing the news. And Kevin, poor Kevin and his blood pressure.
Kevin was the producer of the show.
He was a producer of the show.
And Lord knows why he's still standing. You know?
he's experienced a lot of
pain.
There
were many mornings he was just internally hemorrhaging. Losing control of the situation.
So Buzz makes me look organized, all right? And so it's, you know, I don't know, it was top of the hour, whatever the newscast time was. And so I say, well, Earl's on vacation. Buzz will be here with the news at 9 a.m., and it's like 2 minutes to nine, 1 minute. And Kevin is frantically, and his face is puffing out and is all red. And he's going, where the hell is Buzz? Where's Buzz? And he happens to wander over to the window, which looked out on 5th Street at 5th and Market. And what did you see, Kev?
Well, there was Buzz with our vendor at 5th and Market, Richie, at his truck. And Buzz was enjoying himself a bacon sandwich on toast.
Oblivious to the fact.
It's funny. When I talked to Buzz, I would go, Buzz, Buzz. Buzz! Buzz! Like, and I got to the point where I skipped the first three and just went directly to screaming at him. So I ran downstairs and I went, Buzz! You're on the air with the news! Oh, now, Mr. Gunther, don't get yourself all upset. I'll be right up in a minute. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it was colorful. So one of the...
That was what, by the way, that morning show was one of the greatest morning shows ever. I mean, I never enjoyed myself so much. At your expense sometimes. Kevin remembers well the July you decided not to come to work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we had a great morning show going ourselves.
I'm sure you did probably much better without me.
Well, we got the
month of July.
We got the traffic on time anyway.
All right. So before we get to the story, let's tell the story of Duke in a Box. You called me Duke. Why, Kev?
Well, I think Maddie Cord and I came up with that because it was kind of irreverent. The Duke of Dawn, because you were anything but. I mean, so a 6 a.m. morning show, you used to, like, you would arrive casually maybe 6:30, 6:20, well, no, 6:15.
So in the beginning, I got there the first day at 5. Right. The next day, I got there at 5:30. The next day, quarter to 6. And by the end of the week, it was like 10 to 6, 5 to 6. And the first thing that would happen at 6 o'clock is you'd come on and you go, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, it's WMMR, and now it's time for Earl with the news. And then every so often, I'd be ever so slightly behind, and it would be 1 minute 6:06, and it would just be, hi, I'm Earl Bailey, and here's the news, because Pierre hadn't shown up yet. And so Kev had this great idea as to get around that.
We used to use these plastic carts. We called them carts. They looked like old 8-tracks, and you could record things on them. So I had the bright idea that we would record Pierre Robert saying, hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the breakfast table. Here's Earl Bailey with the news. And then we taped another one that said, thank you, Earl. Here's some great rock and roll to start your music. And then we had another one that introduced traffic. So we had all these carts, and I called them Duke in a Box, because they were like these little box-like cartridges. And so that's how we got the show to, like, we could get it to almost 6:35 at points without you being there. And so
you think that still happens?
No, it doesn't.
No. The fly in the ointment was that we recorded these after a show when you were really up and full of pep and vigor. And then so we would do a Duke in a Box. Good morning, everybody. Here's Earl with the news. And then all of a sudden, Pierre would come on live and go. And that's where we went off the rails.
That was one of many places. That was on the A side. And then we go to commercials and come back, and it'd be time for Cindy Graham with the traffic. And it'd be the real me live and go. This is 10 after 10. Is Cindy, is she out there?
Please be there.
What button is it? Is it this button? So that's how the Duke in the Box came to be. But while doing the morning show, Grover Silcox, who had been part of the DiBella team in the morning zoo and had also is a very funny man, a stand-up comedian and a great observer of life and an incredibly cool guy. He got a gig for a number of years on Fox Morning Television here locally, and he would do fun features, and he had this idea of doing a week of morning shows. So he went around to different morning shows every day and did a little feature on them and did it live. So we announced that Wednesday or whatever, he's going to come to MMR, and we'd all set it up. And the crew gets there early, and I'm looking as pretty as I possibly can, which wasn't an easy task then or now. And there were two doors of that studio on 5th and Market Street, a back door and a front door. So we worked it out. He said, I'm going to knock on the door. The minute I open it, we're live on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And Earl was in the studio and Buzz and Kevin in the studio. And he said, and I'll come in and we'll just start talking. So we had put on, and this dates us a little bit, a Bonnie Raitt tape. Bonnie Raitt from Sigma Sound, I believe. And at 10 to 7 in the morning, yeah. Which is hardly like drive time music.
Right.
Now we're playing Metallica, but then we were playing Bonnie Raitt. And so...
well, it wasn't a drive time show. It was just a radio show that happened to be on in the morning.
Yep.
You know, that's all. And so Bonnie Raitt fit right in with the whole attitude.
It was perfect. Mm. So so we're all set. Everybody's ready. The studio's all clean. And I had a cup of coffee in this little crevice in a styrofoam cup. And... right as Earl knocks on the door, and we'd started the tape, so we're clear on the air.
Not me. I didn't knock on the door.
Right as Grover had knocked on the door, I said, oh, cool, I'll grab the cup of coffee. And as I grabbed the cup of coffee, I hit it with my hand, and it knocked over. And at that moment, Grover comes in with a live camera, and I am caught in this immediate dilemma of, do I... immediately live. Search for napkins and try to clean this up, or
live
do I turn
on Channel
and face
29, right.
Channel 29 yeah. Fox TV? What the hell do I do? And I just turn and go, Grover, how are you? And he comes in and he goes, blah, 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 blah. And in the background, I'm hearing, and I just reached over and turned the sound down. I'm going, something's happening. Something's not good. Something's not good. The coffee was seeping into the control board shorting
everything
out.
The person who designed that studio obviously was into designing kitchens, and he put the power pack to the studio right where the drain would be for the water. So everything went in that direction, drained in that direction, and wiped out the power pack to the studio.
Well,
we found something out when that happened.
We
go
did.
Ahead. Yes.
And then, you know, I'm chatting with Grover going, oh, my God, this is really bad. This is bad. And I already done it twice on Rittenhouse Square. And you happen to have gone down to the newsroom, and we're sitting in the newsroom. And, Kev, do you want to take it from there?
I was on the end of the line welcoming Grover on the far right. And so I kind of like. Smiley steps sidestep my way out of the shot because I knew that we were gonna have to go to Earl because the board was frying. So I'm on live TV and I just kind of disappear out of the side of the frame, and I go running out the other door, and I go in and Earl's there, and he just finished a newscast, and I go, Earl, Pierre knocked coffee into the, and I look at Earl, and Earl,
wait a second, you didn't open the door because I was in there and the on-air light was on, okay. We found out later that because the main studio had been knocked out, the auxiliary studio automatically went on. So I was on the air, and Kevin's outside staring through the window, pointing at me like, you know, you're on. And I go, I'm on. Well, what had just happened was I had just finished a newscast. There was no tape in any tape recorder. I had no records in the studio, no CDs. And I had just taken a big, big bite of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Made by Mrs. Bailey that morning. Right. And so Earl hits the microphone live and goes,
it was the DJ's nightmare. I had a mouthful of peanut butter, no records, no tapes, and I'm live on.
Every word we are saying is true. Names have been changed to protect the guilty. And it wasn't pretty. And those engineers hated me for a long, long time. And this is a band we were playing about that particular time. Let's play them right now. Spin Doctors. What was I smoking? Except I wasn't smoking anything. I was drinking. 93.3 WMMR. 50 years of rock and roll history. Warts and all. Hey, hippie vibe of the Spin Doctors and Two Princes, a band somewhere between 93 and 96. I can't remember exactly. About 94, I think that band was around and quite big. And we were playing them and Soul Asylum and the Gin Blossoms and the Counting Crows quite a bit. And I was doing the morning show and Earl Bailey was doing the news. And it's alumni week and Earl's here with us along with Donna Bailey. How long have you kids been married, by the way?
30 years.
Wow.
This past August.
God bless you. That's awesome. I want to get to what you're up to these days, but we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we have one more segment we'd like to play with you of some of one of your legendary holiday shows. And it really is cool. Earl Bailey back on the MMR airwaves. Das beautiful. Great to hear you again, said Ed in Northeast Philly. Pierre, when you played the Marconi experiment into flying a little while ago, I was like 14 years old again and discovering FM radio for the first time. So great to hear Earl Bailey back, says someone named Chuck. God bless Earl, and that Vietnam clip that Earl did was just amazing. Really, really cool. Also, the Ballad of John and Yoko, that's really special to have heard that. And I didn't even remember that Earl hosted the show called Ticket to Ride. So Bob from Coatesville said, great listening to these voices from my youth. You do not forget them. And those are some. Earl and Mrs. Earl, Anthony says, after Tiersen and DeBella, Earl is yet another great breath of fresh air. So cool stuff. We've had some great great times this week with Alumni Weekend. It'll continue this weekend with different voices from the past gracing our airwaves over the course of this weekend. We'll take a quick break. We've got one more segment with Mr. Bailey, and we'll be right back.
Time now to gather around the breakfast table.
I don't know, we're just doing our best, trying to be positive.
It's the Pierre Robert radio program.
The establishment is coming together. You hear them right now.
Why won't they listen?
The home of rock and roll.
Some of this is going to come back to haunt us.
93.3 WMMR Philadelphia.
They're going to come after this with everything they got. Do not wait for orders from headquarters. Mount up, everybody, and ride to the sound of the guns.
The brilliant creative mind of Earl Bailey making IDs for me back in the days when I hosted the morning show from 93 to 96.
Listen, dear, that was in the days before digital. You know, we were all analog back then.
That's right.
Nowadays, you could put something together like that in a couple minutes, maybe. Back then, it took a couple of hours because you had a razor blade and reel-to-reel recording tape, and you were cutting these little pieces of tape and splicing them together with stick-em tape. And you make this big, long collage, you know, that may last 30 seconds, but it takes you hours to make, you know.
Right.
Nowadays, you punch a few buttons, it's done, right?
Well, speaking of nowadays.
Those were the days. You know, used to walk to school.
Yeah. Earl Bailey is our special guest for Alumni Week. We have one more segment with him and his lovely wife, Donna Bailey. Actually, before we go further, I want to test your abilities to do a live read. I have a brought to you by these nice folks. And if you feel like reading that lower line, portions of our day are brought to you. And the company's name is Godshall's. Yeah. And that lower part, we'd love to hear you do the brought to you by.
Brought to you by Godshall's. Cook out and eat lighter with Godshall's. Cook out and eat lighter with Godshall's real meat.
Now I know why you won't read this.
Well, a vegetarian of 42 years.
Cook out and
reading,
eat lighter with
reading
Godshall's
the meat product.
Real meat. Real wood smoked turkey bacon, 94% fat free and 80% less fat than most pork bacon. Good Lord. Discover hundreds of recipes at Godshall's.com. I'm sure they're wonderful folks.
No, they're
they
lovely
don't know
people.
What they got into.
They're
here.
Lovely people, but somehow they put the vegetarian in charge of reading about the bacon.
Well, it's been a long time since I've read a commercial.
Well, now you're back in it. Now you work on satellite. You're on Sirius XM
with no commercials.
With no commercials, and people can hear you at various times of the day on two channels. Correct. Yes.
Classic Vinyl Channel 26.
Okay.
Deep Tracks, which is my baby. I created that. I built that.
Wow.
18 years ago. Before they shot the satellites up, I took a job and created this channel called Deep Tracks, which has survived mergers and purges and all that. You know about surviving mergers and purges.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's my love, and that's Channel 27 on in the afternoons on Sirius XM.
And is there a time of day where people can hear you specifically?
Well,
that
on deep tracks.
Compete with me that you.
Well, actually, we are. We don't compete. We cooperate.
I don't care. We're a station that plugs all kinds of other stations. I don't care.
And we do too. I've mentioned MMR on my show on Deep Tracks because there are so many people around the country who left Philadelphia who will get that satellite and hear me and get that Philadelphia connection. And every day, Pierre, I get emails from ex-members of the WMM Army who are reconnected again, because a lot of what I do on Deep Tracks reflects the Rock and Roll Roots show and how we did it back then.
Right.
You know, and of course, MMR stays alive by continually being contemporary, as that's what the role of this station is. The role of my channel on XM is to Sirius XM is to bring you back into that frame of mind and maybe allow a little bit of an escape, but yet still relating to what happens today.
Oh, that's excellent. And the thing about our loyal listeners, people, you know, life takes you to different places. And between that on satellite or the fact that we now have MMR broadcast online at our website, WMMR.com, or that you can download an app. I was having...
By the way, we have an app, too.
Seriously. Oh, cool.
We do internet radio, and we have, you know, many more channels on internet. And actually...
Our app's better than your app.
Yeah,
okay.
Probably. But I'll say that because I'm here. But the great thing is, you know, it gives you the possibility of on-demand.
Right.
On the radio, just like on TV, but it's on the radio.
Well, it's just so thrilling. I had dinner at a sushi restaurant in Lake Tahoe about 4 or 5 days ago when I was on vacation. And the sushi chef, this wonderful guy from Japan, named Hiro, and he's going, "So you work in the radio?" And I go, "Yeah." And I called Kevin, who was on the overnight show, and I said, "You know, could you just say hi to Hiro Sushi in Lake Tahoe?" Mm-hmm. And I put the app on, and 2 minutes later, the song ends, and he goes, "That's for Pierre and his friend Hiro, the sushi chef in Lake Tahoe," and they're just blown away. So the technology is something we've been able to keep with us, and our listeners have been able to stay in touch with us around the country and even around the world, which is cool.
Yeah.
And yours as well. So it's a nice way of staying connected. I want to take us to a band that was new in 1988, I think is when this is. And we returned to Sigma Sound Studios. And you were the host of an evening, our first back at Sigma Sound. We had done all those legendary sessions with everyone from America to Billy Joel to Bonnie Raitt over at Sigma Sound. And towards the later 80s, we had the idea of starting that series back up again. Sadly, Sigma Sound is long gone. But you were the host of the first night, and I was sitting in the audience as the Smithereens were on stage. Remember that evening at all?
Pierre, I don't.
There's nothing answer. You're supposed to say, "Oh, yes, Pierre, I remember it well."
Now that you brought it up, having to write this introduction of this momentous occasion, and it was right up my alley. And I will say there have been quite a few momentous occasions on WMMR, whether it be funny occasions or extremely serious occasions. And it's just been it was a joy to share that over almost a 20-year period with the citizens of Philadelphia.
It's so funny because...
Do you remember this, by the way?
Oh, my God!
I have the Holy Grail from WMMR. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a National Biscuit Company tin can that had animal crackers in it. It's an old thing. I don't know how old this must be. 50 years old. Probably 50 years old. It probably was here in the first studio that WMMR had, and it held pens. It's where we put our pens. And it's all beaten up now.
Barnum's Animals. It was animal crackers.
This was the pencil and pen holder in the studio.
And I never even remember.
Quite frankly,
it going
when
away.
I was asked to leave the studio the last time, I took this with me. And I thought, someday I'm going to bring it back to this studio. And to tell you the truth, I was going to pass it on to somebody. So I've been holding on to it for 19 years now. And I was going to give it to Bubba John.
Sadly, we don't have him with us anymore.
So I'm going to give it to you.
Wow.
And you keep it in the studio here. This will mean a lot to old timers. The new timers will have to come to appreciate what this tin can of what used to hold animal crackers.
DJ, whose name is Jackie Bam Bam, has this horrible tendency of chewing every pen he can up one side and down the other. And his teeth marks are all over everything, and he will love that. But we're going to put that, and we'll take a picture of it. And
that could be the earliest artifact in the museum here.
Wow. All right, back to that show on May 2nd of 1988. Earl did this beautiful introduction, and we can't find it. We do have the
song.
Let
us remember the late, great Pat Denizio of the Smithereens.
Marvelous
guy. Who actually wound up working with me at Satellite Radio for a while. He was a program director of our alternative channel.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So this was May 2nd, 1988. I was sitting on the floor of Sigma Sound Studios. The band was young from northern New Jersey. Their name was Smithereens. And into those archives we shall go for a show hosted by Earl Bailey, but we don't have his voice on it, but we do have his song. Here they are now.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. It's time to visit the MM archives. Here's a song you won't hear anywhere else.
I thank all of you here tonight in the studio for being so nice and everybody out there listening again and WMMR. Let's applaud them too. Thank you. We are the Smithereens. And this is called Blood and Roses.
Live from Sigma Sound Recording Studio. You can see the Smithereens tomorrow night. That's Tuesday night at the Chestnut Cabaret. Chestnut Cabaret, Tuesday night. The Smithereens.
So we actually did have a little piece of Earl on there, which is awfully cool. Earl Bailey hosted that show in May of 1988, our return to Sigma Sound Studios. And he's been our guest for our alumni week here, and we've got a great fun weekend in store for you as well. I thought we didn't have any of you on the tape, but we did have a little.
How about that? Well, you know, those were the days. You probably were going through a lot of the archives for this year and encountering a lot of tapes and trying to figure out what they are, and there were just so many tape boxes that were never labeled,
right?
You know. And you got to understand, folks, that at the time, you know, the guy who was in charge probably was the guy who was selling pot also, you know. So there's a reason these tape boxes weren't labeled correctly.
But also, you know, no one ever expected this to last that long, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you beat the first 10 years, okay, fine. Yeah. Well, another five, okay, fine. Yeah. Well, up 20, that's pretty cool. Yeah. But, you know, there's all kinds of art and mm-hmm. archival pieces and pieces of DJs who've been here in the past who that we don't have.
When we started, we thought, you know, if we can make 10 years out of this,
right.
we'll be doing great. You know, what will I be doing in 10 years? You know,
it's going to be
years.
I know. It's going to be an alumni weekend. And Bill reminded me that we've got some little clips. And this is some of what you'll hear over the course of the weekend in between various songs. You'll hear some people who graced these airwaves before, one of which is Carol Miller.
Hi, this is Carol Miller. And I was on WMMR from the end of 1971 to the beginning of 1976. And what an amazing time. I can't tell you, for a year, I was the music director. And listen to these albums, just thinking about it. Greetings from Asbury Park, we added that. You know, by this guy, Bruce Springsteen. The first Steely Dan album. Jackson Browne, Joni Mitchell, For the Roses. It was unbelievable. And WMMR connected with these artists and the audience from the very beginning in such an amazing way. I'm so excited to have been part of it. And after all these years, wow. I mean, still a thrill to say. Can I say the slogan the way we used to say it? At FM 93.3, we're WMMR. Philadelphia, the radio station.
It's an MMR Alumni Weekend. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
That's pretty cool.
Carol's a great woman.
Great woman. And for a while, she was married to a gentleman who got his career started here, doing the 6 to 10 evening show. And then he went on to launch MTV. And his name...
Hey, I'm Mark Goodman. I am a Philly boy born and bred. I grew up listening to WMMR, and it's because of that that I am the music nerd that I am today. I worked at MMR from 1976 to 1980. I started off as an intern in the news department working with the then news director, Bill Vitka, and kept on banging on the door, trying to get in, talking to different program directors until Jerry Stevens ultimately hired me. And that was the first thrill about working there, that I got to be hired by him. And I got to work with some legends. Ed Shockey was already gone from MMR, but he was certainly one of the legends that influenced me. Michael Tierson, one of my biggest influences. I got to work side by side with Michael. Steve Martorano, just incredible. And this radio station made me the music nerd I am today, and set me up for the successes that that came after, and I love this radio station for it. Happy 50th anniversary, 93.3 WMMR.
Hello, everybody. My name is Bill Vitka. I was the first voice of news on WMMR. I was the news director, the first from 1972 through 1978. WMMR was the first time I was on the air anywhere. It was the first time I sat behind a microphone. WMMR is where I cut my baby teeth in radio. We were there during Vietnam, Watergate, Nixon, Patty Hearst, MOVE, and Frank Rizzo. My newscast wasn't really like anything else in broadcasting at that time. I blended music, vox pop, montage, fire sign theater, and the Marx Brothers into the newscast. I wanted a wider sense of culture to inform the traditional world of news. I wanted to bring history closer to make it more a part of our lives. What I learned is that when you find something you love, give it everything you've got. A lot of blood and heart went into it, all of it. See you all in 50 years at the next reunion.
Hello, Philadelphia. My name is Ted Utz, WMMR VP of Programming from 1985 to 1989. Those glory days. There are two things I remember most. First, you, the listeners. You made our station part of the local fabric. The Eagles, Flyers, Phillies, the Art Museum, and WMMR. The station is Philadelphia. And second, our staff. What an incredible group. John DeBell, Pierre Robert, Joe Bonadonna, Michael Tierson, Lynn Kratz, and Cindy Drew, Larry Richmond, and Earl Bailey. And those two who look down upon us today. Mark the Shark and Bubba John Stevens. And don't forget the man in the corner office, Mike Craven. He made it all happen. Thank you, and happy 50th WMMR Philadelphia.
It's an MMR Alumni Weekend. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
So, Ted Utz was our program director and loved the Grateful Dead, by the way, encouraged many playings of Dead and many workforce blocks of the Dead, just like Bill Weston, our current program director, who twirls all the time. And if you believe that, I have some swampland that I would like to sell you. Also, you heard there, Carol Miller, legendary DJ, and Mark Goodman, also legendary DJs from, I guess, the 70s. At MMR. They're both on satellite radio now. But
I'm fortunate enough to work with both of them still, Carol and Mark.
I ran into Mark at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when Bon Jovi was inducted, and you know he never forgets MMR. I don't think anyone does who works here. Earl, stay with us for one more moment. We'll take a quick break and conclude our visit with Mr. Bailey in just a moment.
93.3 WMMR.
On the air. And so it is. Bill Weston was in saying hi to Earl Bailey. And Mrs. Bailey, Donna Bailey, who, Donna, how long did you work at the station, by the way?
June of 84 when I left teaching, and I worked until 95 when I got fired.
Well, you know, the thing about this place is...
she was our boss for a while.
That's correct. She ran a research department. You had how many people working under you?
Oh, there was many, many. There was at one point maybe like 20.
Wow. Wow. It's pretty wild.
larger than the air staff.
Yeah, yeah. That was when we were at 5th and Market, I believe,
yes.
Right?
And you worked, and 19th and Walnut.
Okay, and you worked under Joe Bonadonna, I think, for a
Ted Utz, George Harris hired me, Ted Utz kept me, and Joe Bonadonna kept me and then lost me.
Well, all right, these are three different program directors.
Yes.
George Harris came in after Charlie Kendall, the not Philadelphia Charlie, moved to New York, where he promptly fired Earl.
Yes.
And then Earl came back.
And Ted Utz hired me. Ted Utz hired me.
Ted Utz hired you.
At the behest, once again, of, I must say, Joe Bonadonna. He's right. Been an advocate for many of us, Pierre.
He certainly has.
Deserves his kudos.
I owe everything to Joe Bonadonna. I will never forget it. I mean, I owe my whole existence here to him.
His son works here now.
Yeah, Joe Jr. works here. But, so Charlie fired you here. Then you went to New York, and Charlie fired
followed
you in New York.
Followed me up. You know, got on the next train.
When Charlie left here, George Harris replaced him. I was on overnights. George Harris is the one who moved me to middays. And then when he left, Ted Utz came, and he rehired you here.
Yes.
And
he found
then,
me on a beach at Cape Cod and said, I need someone in 2 weeks.
And after Ted, I think it was a combination of Joe and John, who were co-program directors for a while. That was a little crazy, but it worked out. And then it was just Joe. Then it was Joe and Steve Martorano, who came back, who had been on the air, but then came back as an operations manager. And then I think it was Sam Milkman, and then up to our current program director of Bill Weston. I think
you got that.
It.
There's going to be a test on this.
For if you're just joining us and you're listening and this doesn't make any sense, it's all part of our alumni week and some of the history of the station, which, you know, we don't get a chance to delve into very often. So before we let you go, anything you wanted to add, Kev? All right. Kev is just shaking his hand going, wrap it up, wrap it up.
That's what he does.
When I was a kid, in like 1977, 78, maybe 79, I called MMR at night and made a request. And the guy who picked up the phone was Earl Bailey.
Wow.
And about 15 or 20 minutes later, he sent the song I requested out to Kevin, who was in Ardmore, and it was the first time my name was ever on the radio, and nothing's been the same since. Wow. And then I had the privilege of working with you in many different ways over many years. So I love you. I can't thank you enough for all the influence and all the great radio you've made and all the memories we had together.
Well, it's you know, part of the joy of radio is actually the struggle you have to go through to get where you're going. And gentlemen, the three of us went through some struggles together.
But we're still standing.
And,
and so is this entity, you know, this marvelous entity. Well, you've got to, because otherwise you'd jump off, you know, you'd jump off a hay bale onto another hay bale. Fred in Williamstown says, it's so great hearing Earl back on MMR. I just love it. I mean, there's so many texts I can't even come up to. Bill Kane, who photographed a lot of stuff for us, said, I had always wondered where Take It Easy But Take It came from. Now I have my answer. Thank you, Earl. And where did Dad's Beautiful come from, by the way?
That was something outside the London Victory Club. A friend of mine and I were waiting to get in, and someone who was inebriated kept saying that to us. Oh, that's beautiful. And we looked at each other and said, I think we have a new radio catchphrase here.
That's beautiful. Oh, that's great. In Galloway Township, they're listening. Mr. Earl Bailey brings back so many great memories. In fact, gave me the idea to go to broadcast school. That's pretty cool. That's pretty inspiring. I have to tell you, I'm tearing up right now. There are so many great moments of listening to you. Thank you so much. And they just go on and on and on. I'm going to print these texts for you to take with you. But, I mean, my name is Matt from Drexel Hill. I've just enjoyed this segment so much. It's been informative. I didn't know this much history of the station. It really is legendary. Lisa wrote in saying, Earl, so great to hear you. I miss you, but I love you. Sean in Wilmington, it's just so cool to hear this. So before we let you go, we're going to conclude with one of your legendary holiday shows.
Oh, wow.
And it comes to us from Christmas time. Do you remember what year? Oh, it doesn't make any difference. 1994. We were at 5th and Market then. Yeah. We left Rittenhouse Square in 92 and went over to 5th and Market. And you would do Thanksgiving shows and Christmas shows and put a great deal of effort and care into them.
Well, it started back in an era when there were no rock and roll Christmas records, very few. And so you really had to stretch it, you know, and you had to find records that would take on extra added meaning at a holiday time, you know. Now, there are thousands and thousands of rock and roll bands who do Christmas records, but back then you had to stretch it. And so it was a labor of love, and it just fell to me to do it. When I left MMR, I will say Matt Cord carried on the tradition of the Christmas morning show.
With the Cord family and, Christmas,
and
yeah.
I carry it on still on Deep Tracks on Sirius XM. I do it every year. We have a bit more time to stretch out there. But it was among the proudest and most enjoyable things I did on WMMR was to spend Christmas morning with the listeners.
Well, you were a master of it, and Mrs. Bailey would come in, and yes. Jack, your dog at the time. You have
Jackson, the rock and roll husky puppy.
That's right. Several since then, great dogs that you've adopted.
And you too, being a dog lover. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So with that in mind, I offer you thanks of a grateful nation. As the president would say in different times, the thanks of a grateful nation of rock and roll animals who appreciated every one of us is here because of someone else. And we wouldn't be here without those who preceded, as we said at the beginning, both on and off the air. So many people have contributed. Above all, above any of us, it's our great thanks to those of you who listen. Whether you're a newer listener, whether you've been there with us from the beginning, whether you joined anywhere in the journey, we can never thank you enough, because for a station to not only just exist, but to thrive for 50 years is almost unheard of these days. And there are very few stations left like MMR, and very few stations that would fire people as many times as we fired Earl and still invite him back. I didn't fire you, by the way. It was crazy people before me. But welcome home.
It's all part of growing up.
Welcome home. It is great to have you. As we go into this piece from Christmas, and we'll close with a beautiful welcome home song about Christmas, as we welcome home several of our alumni, we're going to have a gathering tomorrow evening in town of alumni, and we'll have stories on that on Monday and through next week. But as we welcome you back, it's you that I first got the Jackie Gleason bit from. And people, and I do a long Thanksgiving show and a long Christmas show.
I listen.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. For our 50th birthday, I did an 11-hour radio show from 10 in the morning till 9 at night.
I read about that. I didn't listen.
That's all right. That's all right. We might be repeating that over Thanksgiving. We'll see. But I did.
Before you do this, just let me say, with regards to the Christmas thing, one of the greatest moments that I ever had was on the morning show you and I did. And it was over at Fifth and Market. And our guest was John Astin.
Oh, my God. The great actor
John Astin.
We've got that. Yeah, keep going.
Who most people know from, what was the Addams
Family.
Right. But he was a great Shakespearean actor, and he just impressed the heck out of us that morning. He was in town starring as Scrooge in,
The Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol, yeah. And he just brought us to tears that morning, because, you know, you didn't expect the guy who played the Addams Family to be this type
of
total gentleman. And so anyway, that was just a memory I had, because you were talking about Christmas.
I play this piece every year at Christmas as well. We're going to play it now. We're going to replay a little piece of your Christmas show, which also has the Jackie Gleason bit in, which, you know, both these pieces, and I'm already getting near tears now, so I have to conclude. But both these pieces bring great, huge welling of emotion in me, and I think in a lot of listeners as well. So the human aspect of this fine frequency, imperfect and flawed and yet human as human can be. We thank you, Earl, for being such a part of it, and Donna as well, and welcome home.
We love you,
Pete. We love you right back.
Love you. Take it easy, but take it.
You'd say that. It is 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia, the radio station. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Act
actor John Astin dropped by WMMR to talk about his role in the play A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge.
I think he's universal. I think we all have Ebenezer Scrooge in us. And we all have the potential to transform into productive, constructive human beings. Mm. Every single one of us does, and that's part of the message of the story, that no person is irredeemable. And Scrooge may appear that way at the beginning, but like all the rest of us, he's human.
Mm. And he gets that second chance, which is so cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, every day for us is a second chance. We, all of us, can bring forth the human decency that's in us. And that is truly the road to happiness,
mm-hmm.
is to bring that out.
WMMR, Earl Bailey on a rock and roll roots salute to Christmas. And as always, we like to top off our Christmas shows, at least for the last three, 4 years, with a message from Jackie Gleason, that is Ralph Cramden, and the message from Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders at 93.3 WMMR.
You know something, sweetheart? Christmas is, well, it's about the best time of the whole year. You walk down the streets, even for weeks before Christmas comes. And there's lights hanging up, green ones and red ones. Sometimes there's snow, and everybody's hustling someplace. But they don't hustle around Christmas time like they usually do. You know, they're a little more friendly. They bump into you, they laugh, and they say, pardon me, and Merry Christmas. And especially when it gets real close to Christmas night. Everybody's walking home, you can hardly hear a sound. Bells are ringing, kids are singing, snow is coming down. And boy, what a pleasure it is to think that you got some place to go to. And the place that you're going to, there's somebody in it that you really love. Someone you're nuts about. Merry Christmas.
This is Chrissy Hynde of the Pretenders, and I want to wish WMMR a very happy 50th birthday.
Beaver Blitz. Space so smooth and clean. Fiery horse with the speed of light. Beaver Blitz.
At FM 93.3, we're at WMMR, Philadelphia. The radio station.
FM 93.3, we're WMMR, Philadelphia.
Oh, really, 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 oh, yeah. What do you think of that?
The radio station.
Of course. How stupid can I be?
And there goes the last DJ.
Of Helen Trent can begin at 35.
Beaver Blizzard. I love you.
At FM 93.3, we're WMMR, Philadelphia. The radio station.
Pierre Robert takes you to WMMR's Vintage Analog Studio Off.
We learn more from a three-minute record, baby.
it's time for Pierre's Vinyl Cut.
A couple of our vintage station IDs are tuning radio dial from, gosh, made in the mid-70s. I think the gentleman who made a lot of those will be at our alumni party over the weekend, and I want to get him in to do some background on some of those vintage IDs that I still love to play. I got one record queued up here that I'm going to conclude our coverage of. Got that ready to go. Of Earl Bailey's visit from 2,000 miles, welcoming the person who's lost home by the light of the candle in the window to Tom Petty's Last DJ into the song I'm going to conclude with today, which will be on vinyl. It's all about welcoming you home and remembering that home is where the heart is. And Earl Bailey, such heart, and so many of our air staff over the years, some of them have passed on. Most of them are still with us, and a lot of them you'll hear over the course of the weekend in recorded messages about their time in Philly and their time on MMR. And none of them have ever forgotten that time, whether they got fired as many times as Earl did or not. They're back with us to visit this weekend, and you'll hear them a lot over the air this weekend as well. So I normally play this around holiday times, but for all our incoming alumni this weekend, and for all those who have taken MMR to wherever they are at this point in their lives, be it around the country or around the world, who stream or listen online, we thank you and remember that we're only as far away as that app or that stream or that radio dial, because we like to have you with us at the home of rock and roll. We say, welcome home.
Tap your heels together 3 times and think to yourself, there's no place like home. There's no place like home.
No matter how far you've gone or where you've been, it's great to have you back.
Mama, I'm coming home.
Back home to the station that's been the soundtrack of Philadelphia.
Home, where my music's playing.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
I'm on my way, home sweet home.
93.3 WMMR, Philly's first rock station. Welcome home.
We're coming home again someday to the town that rocks the nation, Philadelphia.